Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I love my next guest. I think he's a brilliant golf mind. He's a man of his word because when he lost a bet to me, he paid me up in studio. It was only a dollar. I mean, this guy, I should have bet him a lot more than a dollar. He makes good money, but it was more about the symbolism. I wanted him to hand it to me rather than me hand it to him. He's a great follow on Twitter, on social media, and he always has something poignant to say. If you don't like it, he doesn't care, which you know I love. Brandel Chambly from the Golf Channel. Brandel, what's happening, buddy? Welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Well, hell, it's nice to talk to you. What a day this was, huh?
Listen, you have to start with the 63. I was trying to put this into terms of accomplishments for like other sports for the non-golf fan, and I said it's kind of like scoring 70 or 75 points in an NBA game. Can you verbalize? Can you really just illuminate the difficulty to shoot a 63 on this course today? What exactly did Brooks Koepka do?
Well, outside of, say, a Sunday round with championship pressure, I've been racking my brain since he finished to try to come up with a better round of golf that I have ever seen. Now, of course, there's been lower scores. No question about it. There's been a bigger differential between what someone shot and the tour average. But when you think about the situation, the fact that it's a major, the fact that it's on Bethpage Black, which is notoriously difficult, the fact that he was in Tiger Woods' company, to put that further into perspective, Tiger Woods has won, prior to the Masters, he had won 14 major championships. In the very next event that he played in, the average position of the people that he played with was 38 after the first round.
Okay.
And he was getting paired with gods. He was getting paired with Phil Mickelson and BJ Singh and Nick Price and Tom. He was getting paired with major championship winners.
Mm-hmm.
No one had ever finished a round with Tiger Woods with the lead. And I've said it before. Tiger Woods has seen more bad golf than anyone in history. He intimidates people. The maelstrom of his circle diminishes people. And I dare say that is the best golf that Tiger Woods, that he didn't author, is the best golf that he has ever seen.
Wow.
That's how impressed I was with what Brooks Koepka did today.
Okay, so that's great perspective. And let me ask you this, just in a general flyby scouting report, we know that Brooks Koepka is an absolute masher. His length is a great asset. What do you think is his second best characteristic? Is it a slow heartbeat? I'm trying to figure out number two. What's his second best trait?
Well, slow heartbeat's right up there. I mean, I do think that there's something about great athletes where they move slower. Certainly it's true about Tiger Woods. I think that's strategic. I think Tiger Woods learned very early on that there was a correlation between the amount of steps he takes and his heartbeat. And I think that's part of Tiger Woods' secret, is that he's always kept in sort of the right, even keel. Brooks Koepka very much has that same cadence. He's unflappable, but he appears to be unflappable. But today, what was amazing about his round was it was so strategic. He kept it beneath the hole on almost every single iron shot. And again, back to the Tiger Woods, after Tiger Woods made eagle at the fourth hole, he stood up and just ripped it at five, and Brooks hit it 20 yards past him. On three, when Tiger Woods hit a great shot in there, Brooks got up next and hit it right beside him, and then Brooks made it before Tiger did. So he had an answer to everything. So perhaps you're right. Perhaps it's just the low heartbeat, which is another way of saying he's impervious to pressure.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking to Brandel Chambly from the Golf Channel here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So in terms of the raucous meter, I know they're not getting on anybody like they got on Sergio back in 2002, but how's the gallery out there at Bethpage? Always a side story. How was it today?
It's kind of sober right now. I'm thinking before the week gets out. You know, part of that in 2002 was it was Tiger Woods. If Tiger Woods was doing today or did do today what Brooks Koepka did, then this place would be, well, it would be like Times Square on New Year's Eve. But Brooks moves along, and he's not very demonstrative. You know, even when he made the putt at the last hole for 63, he sort of gave it a mild air punch as if he had just shot, you know, 69 or 70 in a regular tour event. But what he did was just grab a piece of history. There's really, I mean, they've been playing major championships since 1860. He became the ninth person to shoot 63 in the first round of a major championship. The previous eight, just to give you some sort of perspective of how hard it is to follow a great round with another one,
yeah,
averaged 72.5 in their next round.
Who was the last one? Was it somebody somewhat modern? It's got to be, right?
Well, 2016, Phil Mickelson shot 63 in the first round of the Open Championship. Now, he should have gone on to win, and he would have won if they've had 500 majors. He would have won 499 of them because Henrik Stenson shot the lowest score in the history of major championships. So he didn't go on to win, and only two of them that had shot 63 in the first round of a major have gone on to win. Jack Nicklaus shot 63 in the first round, 1980 U.S. Open. He went on to win.
Okay.
Ray Floyd shot 63 in the first round of the PGA in 1982, and he went on to win. But it hasn't been a sure bet, that's for sure.
Yeah, nobody knows golf history like this guy. You know, Brandel, I've always curious, you know, and the cameras, and of course it's on CBS this weekend, which is great for us. We'll get Saturday, Sunday coverage on CBS. But really, all the networks do a nice job of bringing us into the by-player, the caddy-player relationship. We get a chance to hear the sequence and, you know, the dissecting, where's the hole, what club, the wind. And, you know, so everybody's different. I think it's really fun to hear which players give the caddy the latitude to, I don't want to say put them in their place, but really express themselves and which don't. But when you're going for a course record, all right, when you're on the precipice of doing something that nobody's done before, is Brooks's caddy telling him that? Like, is that part of the conversation or is that unspoken?
That'd be unspoken. You know, they wouldn't talk about what he was doing unless it were, you know, close to the finish line and the shot that you were hitting, the strategy was dependent upon your position in the event. You might need to take more chances or take less risk.
Yep.
But that would happen late on Saturday or it would happen on Sunday. It wouldn't be a typical Thursday sort of thing. But it's hard to know. You don't want to say anything that would get your player out of the rhythm or the zone, if you want to call it that. But it's basically a beautiful moment when you see an athlete where they forget what they're shooting and they just literally go from idea to action with such ease. That's the thing about Brooks that is amazing, to see him go from the thought process to the execution is beautiful. Not many do it without much fidgeting. You know, it's one of the prettiest things of Tiger Woods is how he gets into a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of regrips, not a lot of waggles, not a lot of fidgeting of his feet. He's very authoritative.
Mm.
About the way he goes to his work, and so is Brooks Koepka.
Basically the exact opposite of me, who's doing 1,000 things, hoping the ball goes straight and goes in the air.
Hey, listen, they're exact opposite of almost everybody who plays the tour, because they're fighting demons somewhere in there, and they're
thinking
about all these things.
Oh,
and,
man.
And that manifests itself in little ticks here and there.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally hear and feel what you're saying. Talking to Brandel Chamblee, my buddy, giving us a call from Bethpage. He's out there in Long Island. All right, so let me get on you for this, though. So the glowing platitudes in which you speak of Brooks Koepka, and obviously he's earned the praise. Why, when you were asked recently, you said that only DJ and Rory would be able to challenge Tiger's stronghold on the game? It seems like,
what happened? Look, I mean, nothing's etched in stone. I mean, he may go on to be a better player than he has proven to be. And people are saying, well, that's ridiculous. He's won three major championships. And he has. I'm not discounting those. I've said he was an amazing player before he ever won a major championship. But after he won the three majors, I'm asked the question, does he have the best mind in the game of golf? Is he the best player on the landscape? And I simply wasn't willing to cede that ground to him based upon, in my view, wins on three golf courses that were very, very easy off of the tee, where it was mostly about power, and not about strategy.
Yep.
And not about nuance. You know, he's been on the tour for 5 years, and the best he's ever finished in scoring average on the PGA Tour is ninth. Now, that's good, but Dustin Johnson has won the Vardin Trophy twice. Rory McIlroy's won the Vardin Trophy twice. their statistics, the composite pieces of their game. Now, look, it may very well be that Brooks just simply is better than all of the composite pieces, right? He just may have such incredible intangibles that you can't sum him up in statistics.
Mm-hmm.
But never has he driven the ball as well as Dustin or Rory. Never has he had iron shots consistently as well as Dustin or Rory. Never has he scrambled as well as them. And with the exception of one year, he's never putted as well as them. So you start to look at they are who they are. I mean, look, DJ is about to crack into triple digits holding the number one world ranking. Only two other men have done that, Norman and Tiger Woods. So DJ and Rory are, you know, in my view, they're straight to the Hall of Fame without a question.
Yeah.
But Brooks is amazing. Look, I've been flipped off a few times in my life, not as much as most people think, but I felt like he was giving me the finger for 4.5 hours today, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, I hear you.
Nobody outside of Brooks's immediate family probably enjoyed the round of golf that Brooks shot today more than me. I loved it. It's what I wanted to see. I just said I want to see how good he is.
I hear you.
I want to see him play a golf course where it's difficult to hit the fairway.
That's right.
And you have to be very precise with your irons, and you can't get away with anything. And look, through one round, all I would say is I guess he showed me, didn't he?
He did. So far, he has. And Brando, I got one more thing for you. Brando Chambly, really kind enough carving out some time. I know you're running all over the place with the TV, the Golf Channel, of course. Great analyst. Must follow on Twitter. Absolute must follow. Real quick, what was your predicted winning score before the event, and how have you recalibrated that since the 63 by Koepka?
I didn't think anybody was going to get any better than 5 under par. I just couldn't see it.
Uh-huh.
Would I come off that? It's supposed to rain a little bit over the next 3 days. But look, I still think the winning score will be 6 under par, even now after this. I mean, Brooks has got a lot of work cut out for him in front of him. But, you know, the last time I looked, Rory wasn't playing that well. Tiger Woods is 2 over par. Molinari shot 2 over par.
Yep.
So some of the biggest, most dependable names seem to be struggling at the moment. So, you know, right now, I think 6 under par wins.
Yeah. And that's why I thought it was imperative that, and you mentioned a lot of those guys, you know, the two power groups that went out late today, and Phil's in there, and Day, and all those guys. I thought it was imperative that one of those players, you know, dropped a really good number out there, not a 63, but 67, 68, somewhere in the neighborhood of Brooks, because with the length of the course, if Brooks Koepka has, you know, 3, 4, 5-shot advantage, 80% of the field just doesn't hit it far enough to try to make up the distance, right?
Well, that's true. I mean, there are some lesser stars where you start to look and you think, well, we don't know how good they are either. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood shot 67 today. I mean, Fleetwood finished second the last time we were here in New York playing in a major championship. So maybe he's the one that provides the challenge. You know, Brooks has had 4 previous first-round leads on the PGA Tour. He's never converted either of them. So this is new ground for Brooks Koepka as well, leading wire-to-wire in a major championship. Again, you add you build your reputation, your legend in the game of golf, brick by brick. But to some extent, he built the whole floor today, Brooks did. At least for me, he did. You know, watching him play in Tiger's Company and what he did.
Yep.
Now, can he build on that lead and go on and win by a wide margin? I mean, then you're taking the legend to a completely different level, at least in my eyes.
Yep.
Plenty of people say he's already won 3. What more do you need? Well, 3 elevates him to superstar status, no question about it. But when we get there, we start delineating based upon different criteria. Do they blow away fields? Because it is the breakaway win that foretells dominance. Anytime someone wins by 1 or 2, luck is involved to some extent, a bounce here or there. But when somebody can win by 10 shots, 8 shots, that foretells dominance. Nothing else does to the extent of breakaway wins. I'd like to see that from Brooks.
What a vivid description of not just the event, but the game of golf, as we expected. That's why we love Brandel. Brandel, thanks a lot for carving out the time, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Always my pleasure. Love talking to you guys.
You
thanks
man.
So much.
You got it, buddy. Brandel Chamblee, buddy from the Golf Channel. Must follow on Twitter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.